Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
More than a quarter of Irish birds, some 54 species, are now on the endangered red list. That's according to a new report by Birdwatch Ireland. So what can each of us do in our own locality to make our corner of the country more bird friendly? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined now by the environmentalist and author of Our Wild World, Aina Ní Lonna. Aina, thank you for joining us this evening. We might start with pet owners, because they have a role to play here, don't they? What can they do to help our birds?
Well, I mean, they can stop their pets, I suppose. They can stop them annoying the birds. I'm thinking particularly of people who have cats, and lots of people have cats and like their cats. And they have cat flaps on the doors of their houses so the cats can go in and out. And quite a lot of cats go out the cat flap once it gets bright in the morning early and has the garden to themselves, has the world to themselves, no humans to interrupt. And they can do an awful lot of depredation in the garden on nesting birds or on birds that might be hopping around the grass, not expecting them to be there. So if you have a cat, what you should do is keep your cat indoors. Don't make that cat flap open between the hours of dawn and when everybody's up and about. Keep the cat in at that hour of the morning, and that would be a great help to garden birds. And if you have a dog and you're bringing the dog out for a walk, I mean, it isn't right to let the dog gallop off on its leash without its leash. Mm. I was in Sandymount Beach the other day and the people have their dogs and the dogs run out after the birds that are trying to roost. I mean, birds need time to roost. People, you know, should have their dogs on leashes if they're taking them out and not be disturbing flocks of birds, because it's the same on beaches. If you disturb the birds and they rise up, you know, their eggs can get cold, the gulls can come in and take away whatever. So if you have your dog or your cat, you should behave in a way that they're not coming in conflict with birds that otherwise would be doing very well without them.
And just in relation to the cat, or indeed the dog, but particularly the cat, would it help if you have a little bell on the collar?
Well, that's what they say, the bird will hear you creeping up on them. But if the cat has found the bird's nest and all the little nestlings are in there, I mean, they'll only hear with horror the bell coming about the thing that's going to eat them. Okay. They're much better off not having the cat at large in the garden at all.
Okay. What about people then who might have a bit more land in a rural area or a bigger garden?
That's an interesting one. Yeah, people build their houses in rural areas and quite often they build them on new sites. So they're new builds. Now, while there is a certain amount of requirement by local authorities to have a sight line coming out the gate so you'll be able to see traffic coming, quite a lot of people entirely remove their hedge, entirely remove what vegetation was there before and plant acres of lawn. And then they spend the rest of their lives up on lawnmowers, automatic ones that use diesel or whatever to make them go, mowing the lawn. I mean, how is this good for any sort of wildlife? I mean, you know, you should be enhancing your hedge, not putting up those Leyland cypress things or walls or something. And you should be keeping whatever vegetation you had and planting lots of trees around your house. So people who live in rural areas like that with space to do so should not be having acres of lawn. That is not good for wildlife. In urban areas, then, of course, you can be very good to the wildlife in your area, too. You know, at this time of the year, there's all this thing about the county council shouldn't be cutting the hedges. Well, you shouldn't be cutting your hedge in your garden either. You shouldn't be cutting back the ivy rushing out now to clean up the garden when spring is here. I mean, the birds need some cover. I'm not saying you should have none, but at the same time, you know, trimming the hedge, cutting back the ivy, exposes the bird's nests to the beady eyes of the magpies who are always looking to see.
Is there a better time to do that, though, Aina, just to be practical about this? Because, you know, if you let your hedge go completely wild, it can be very unsightly, particularly if you live in a suburban area. You know, your neighbours might not be too happy with you.
Oh, no, I know that indeed. But I mean, this is where being stuck at home in this cave, you know, if you watch your garden, you'll know whether it's been used by birds to nest in or not. And, you know, then, you know, so I mean, you have to be a detective first, have a look about. And if there isn't anything in your hedge, well, and you must trim it back, fair enough. But, you know, I mean, so many people, you know, they got away with their electric saws. I mean, on my own, where I live in Dublin when I'm there, and they tell me, you know, oh, I cut back the hedge and I saw a little robin looking out at me. I mean, they can't put the hedge back and they're so sorry. So, like, be very careful, kind of look before you do it, go round your hedge and see if there's any nest there before you go up with that electric sauce, you know. Be careful first. What do they call it? The precautionary principle, yeah. I believe they call it.
Are there any particular plants or trees that you could be thinking of planting that would help particularly the endangered bird species?
Well, there's lots of things you could plant that birds would like. I mean, if you're in the garden and you want to plant sunflowers, which are lovely things indeed, it'll be good for the bees whenever the bees are about. And then when the seeds come on them, those lovely sunflower seeds, and the whole head of the thing is packed with seeds, the birds will love those ones. You can plant things like teasels, which are going to have nice flowers on them when the flowers are there. But then you have these seed heads afterwards, because our small seed-eating birds like finches and, you know, ones that will look after these, you know, they don't get as many of these things left. People tend to remove seed heads when they've gone into seed. And of course, with trees, any tree is good, because once the leaves come on the trees and the creepy crawlies like the green flies and the spiders come on the leaves, that's where your blue tit is going to get the food. Blue tits have to feed their young 500 times a day. When Derek Mooney, when we do the blue tit nest watch box, has counted, or had people count, 500 visits with something to feed the youngsters with. I mean, you know, so if you have a tree in your garden with leaves and creepy crawlies on them, that's food for those birds there. So people tend to think of trees, oh, just ones with red berries in the autumn time. And indeed, that's great, because birds do love red berries in the autumn. But they can punch above their weight earlier on in the year. And in fact, if you don't care about your apple trees, you can put them out for the finches, the bullfinches, who absolutely love to eat the buds of flowers, although the fruit growers don't care for them too much. But that's what they eat. So there's plenty of things that you could do, not just necessarily saying, oh, we'll put out something with red berries in the autumn time. There's more to it than that.
Okay, look, some brilliant tips for anybody who is interested and concerned indeed about protecting our Irish birds. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. That's environmentalist Aina Lee Launa, also author of Our Wild World.